That's what makes us really a great community. When we contribute and give support and give help, you know, help is not just material, not just finance. Sometimes the best help is moral support. Yes, it is. Sometimes the best help is moral support. Sometimes the best help is just a truthful witness. A truthful witness. Say, well, no, this sister's name is being slandered. This sister's name, reputation is being wrong. I'm a witness that this sister is not like that. Sometimes that's the best help you can get right then. You need it, right, sister? You need that help right then. And believe me, sometimes we ministers or imams, sometimes the best help we can get is for someone to stand up when our image is in question. Stand up and say, well, I know him not be like that. Now, getting back to the ummah, the community, Muslim community, as a model community, a testimony on this earth, for all people. The Christian society was once holding itself to spiritualism and to a kind of theocracy that didn't allow a secular world to come into existence. For a long time, that was the description of the Christian society. Under Catholicism, under the old church. But we know in time, the Renaissance started. What is called now the period of enlightenment, and a leader in Christianity, Martin Luther, he began to change that. And the result was Protestantism, or the Protestant movement, and the secular movement followed. I don't believe the Christians wanted the secular movement. The commercial people wanted the secular movement. Even today, many denominations in Christianity, they are against secular society. They don't approve of the inclusion of a regard for the secular goals of society. Taking God out of the school and many other things that develop. They don't approve of that. They don't approve of the sins. You think the good Christians approve of dope traffic? No, they don't. They don't approve of prostitution? No. You think they approve of indecency, pornography? No. Good Christians don't approve of those things. But secular world insists upon the right to have all that, don't they? The secular world. The secular world insists upon having the right to publish all of the filthy stuff that they publish. If a woman wants to give a body to somebody other than her husband, then she has the right to do that. So this is the secular movement. We can't blame true religion for that movement. That's what we have to understand. We cannot blame sincere religious people for the secular movement. Muslims now, we are threatened too by the secular life. Some of our youngsters, we can't hold them back. They break from our arms and rush to the secular life. To the streets, to the world, and all the dangers out there. And we can't hold them back. Because the TV just gets a bigger audience than we can get. And the leaders of the secular society, they have their ears more than we have their ears. They possess them and we don't. This is the reality. Are we going to just become despair and throw up our hands or fall down and just start boo-hooing? No. We should firm up. Firm up. Knowing that it is not the sincere religious community that allow these things. It's the commercial influences, the commercial people, and the commercial influences that are pushing for those things. We have to tighten up our bonds with each other. We have to strengthen our bonds with each other. We have to be closer together as a Muslim community. We have to attend the prayers, the Jummah prayers. We have to be at the Jummah prayers. We have to pray together at home. We have to make a Qibla, the house, in the house. Isn't that what the scripture says? Then God ordered the people to make a Qibla in the house. So you will have a mosque in your house. Every Muslim should have a mosque in his house. The most learned one in the family, the male there should be the imam. The most learned one should be the teacher. The most learned one may be the mother, or may be the wife. If she's the most learned in the religion, she should be the teacher over all of them, including the husband. And the husband should be the imam. This is Islam. Not only that, if a child is the most learned in the religion, the child should be the teacher. And the man be the imam. Say, well, brother imam, you don't necessarily have to be the smartest one in your community, do you? That's right. That's correct. They call me imam, not the smartest guy. We are to be a community example. An example that serves as a testimony in the world. How can we be that if we're going to be like the world? We can only be that community if we won't allow in our community what God disallows. For as long as we keep the hududullah, the limits set by Allah, then we are that community justly balanced or with the just bias. We are that community. And we are testimony on this earth for all communities on this earth. Your Creator intended that you form as a society or as a community in this behavior, in this nature, on these structures, in this discipline. That's the message. Getting back to the Prophet as an example now, so I can come back again to the community. Allah says of the Prophet, say to them, O Muhammad, say to them, Ana basharum mithlukum. I am a mortal human person like you yourselves. I am a mortal human person like you yourselves. The only difference is, God, and now this is revelation, I'm giving the English, is that I have been inspired by God and given a revelation. That's the only difference. He has been inspired by God and given the revelation, the Quran. But he's a mortal human person. And God didn't leave it just like that. God could have just said, say, O Muhammad, I'm a mortal, and leave it like that. No. He said, say, O Muhammad, I'm a mortal person like you yourselves. Mithlukum means like you yourselves. And that's said in other ways in the Quran too. Says, of not only him, but the Quran, we hold to this, that never did Allah send a messenger or prophet to human beings that was not himself a human person just like themselves, the others. That's our position. That's Muslim. That's Islam. Says, see how they seen going about in the markets just like everybody else, shopping for their food. The Prophet was seen going in the market. Muhammad, the Prophet, peace in the prayer, prayers and peace be on him. Seen going in the market by himself. No entourage. Shopping for his food, getting his food, taking it back to his wife, and taking it back to his wives and children. He was seen doing that. He was seen sweeping the floors of his wife, for his wife. Seen doing those things. Seen washing his own clothes, washing his garment, that he wanted to be nice and ready for the next occasion. Human persons just like us. That's the beauty. That's the beauty. If we are angels, then what credit do we get for being good on earth? Angels were made to be good. They can't be bad. And God says in our holy book, if the earth was going to be an earth with nothing but angel behavior on it, then I would have sent you an angel as a messenger. Allah says this. If the earth was going to be a place with nothing but angel behavior on it, I would have sent you an angel as a prophet or a messenger. Said, but he sent us a human being. And one of the highest names of the prophet is Bashir. Bashir! And it's from the same literal, the same meaning, same term, Bashar, which means a human mortal. The human mortal is our Bashir. The Bashar. Listen closely. In fact, I know you all who know some Arabic, you're appreciating this even more. I wish all the audience could appreciate this like we can, as those who know a little Arabic. I say a little Arabic because, you know, we were known in the Nation of Islam to really stretch things, you know. Bashar, the human person. And then he's given the title, after we become the messenger of God, he's given the title of Bashir. And Bashir means what? The good news bringer. The good news bringer. And I'm giving you the good news right now. That it's wonderful to be our own selves. It's wonderful to be a natural human person. Wonderful. It's miserable trying to be something else. Look how long Christianity dominated and kept the people rigid in spiritualism, locked up their potential, helped enslave their potential, didn't allow the masses the freedom of thought or the open road to education, didn't allow the women education. They thought they were doing good. They were misguided. Finally, that order was changed. But look how long they suffered being denied their human nature, thinking that they were cursed beasts if they weren't gifted with the nost or something inside, some kind of special light come inside the chest and stuff, you know. So only those people who had that special blessing from God were qualified to be responsible for the society, and the masses were just treated as animals. As slaves, as servants, that's all, of the leadership, the hierarchy, the holy, sanctified hierarchy, that who were doing the same thing that humans do now, sneaking behind the curtain, getting a little whoopee whoopee, and coming out trying to pretend like they just nothing but angels, all angel body. Wasn't it a great relief when Martin Luther changed all that? The Catholics should be celebrating his coming on the earth just like the Protestants. If we become the human person, the excellence that God wants in the human person, and we can become that by following God's guidance, we will then embrace all people. God says of the Kaaba itself that we orientate ourselves to as a graphical community, or physically. When we pray, we know our prayer will be heard. I don't know which way is Kaaba right now. I don't know the directions here. But if Kaaba is there, I know if I pray this way, Allah will hear my prayer the same. And Allah tells us that. Says, no matter which way you turn your face, Allah is there. He tells us that in the Quran. But he wants us to be an intelligent, ordered community, and he wants us to be ordered upon knowledge that is revelation itself. The Kaaba, as a sign or as a symbol of some knowledge, is revelation also. See, God has given us revelation in many forms. The purest and the best of revelation is Quran. But God gives us revelation also in the signs. And one of the signs, the symbol of us turning toward that place we call Qibla, Kaaba, the house. What God says of that house. If we understand what God says of that house is not only the Muslim Qibla. That house is the Qibla for all people on this earth. God says that it is the first house built for all people. The first house built for all people. Buniya linnas. Built, constructed, built for all people. It wasn't just built for Muslims or for our community. Yes, it was built for Muslims, all right. But if we understand that our religion says everybody is created first a Muslim and becomes something else because of the circumstances they are put in. Yes. Yes, so I have to correct what I said then, or qualify what I said, by saying that it is built for Muslims, but it's built also for all people. Being that we recognize that their original nature is Muslim. Their original behavior is Muslim. Have you ever seen a baby come out of the womb disobeying? The baby does not bring disobedience with him out of the womb of his mother or her mother. No. When the baby comes, they're ready to obey us. They're looking for obedience. Isn't that something? The same new infant, new life, that came out of the womb looking for obedience, gets up here about 14, 15 years old, and think obedience is the worst thing on earth for it. Strange things the world can do. Blessed Ramadan to you. Yes. The first house built for all people. Buniya linnas. And then God says of Abraham that he was made an imam or a leader for all people, for all nations. And Abraham is the one with his son helping him who built that house for all people. And Allah says of our order in the Quran, Millati Ibrahim, our destiny. Millati Ibrahim Hanifa. Our order, the order of Muhammad, is that of Abraham, the upright in his behavior. Ibrahim Hanifa, the upright in his behavior, or the upright in his life, in his life. We know it means more than that. This term Hanifa hasn't been dealt with sufficiently by no book that I have read. And I don't think anybody will say it has. Yes, the term Hanifa for Abraham, that's translated mean being upright, means upright, but it means much more than that. In fact, Muhammad himself is the Hanifa, Muhammad the prophet. Allah says of Muhammad, say that he have already lived a lifetime among you. He was saying this to the Arabs who were questioning him and not following him, not believing in him. Allah says of the Muhammad that they had known. So he'd already lived a lifetime among you. What was that lifetime that he lived among them? The lifetime of a Muslim. Though he had not been made prophet, he had not been told about Islam, he had not been given Islam and all that, he had already lived the life of a Muslim among them. The Muslim Allah created. The Muslim that Allah created in every human being. So God blessed him with his favor to have that good life stay with him in contact, intact. You don't have to be a prophet. There are many children born to people in different homes and different families and different societies. Many children are born and they keep the good behavior. In spite of a bad environment, they won't give themselves to the influences of that bad environment. Our prophet was the apex of that. He didn't give himself to the influences, the bad influences of his environment. He never worshiped the idols. He never did wrong. He never would insult anybody. He never despised or looked down on anybody. He never disrespected his elders. He was kind to everybody. Before he became a prophet, before he was mission, he was like that. So he was the Hanifa already. That's Hanifa. That's Hanifa. Now, Hanifa means that behavior, it continued to grow and grow and grow until it reaches the intellect, the behavior of the intellect. Then when the intellect also becomes Muslim, then you're like Ibrahim the Hanifa. And that's what Allah missioned Muhammad, to have the Muslim intellect and to call us to the Muslim intellect. That's the highest development for the intellect. Isn't that wonderful? The highest development for the intellect is for your intellect to become Muslim. And the highest development for our passions is for our passions to become Muslim. Did Prophet Muhammad have some trouble with his passions? Yes, he did. Says he's a human being just like you. He was asked, prayers and peace be upon him, saying, Muhammad, do you have a jinn? And the Prophet said, yes, I had a jinn, but he became a Muslim. So we all have trouble with this human nature, you know? We have trouble with this one side of this human nature. It gives us trouble. But God has given us one side stronger than the other, has he? The sign that most people in their right arm are stronger than they are in their left arm. That's a sign that God has made one side of the human life stronger than the other. And I always challenge the criminals. I say, you wait till you make a holy man mad. And you find somebody that can be more violent than you are. And I don't mean in a savage way. In a civilized way. Make the job quick and easy. Still on this human community. Human community. Now we know that the prophet, once he was enlightened by God, and God taught him, God didn't only reveal to him, God taught him, God educated him, because he was uneducated. He was not a child of the educated class. He was not a son of any enlightened fathers. He was an uneducated, born among the uneducated. Not enlightened, born in the society of the not enlightened. That's what it said of him in the Quran. Al-Ummi, from the community of the Ummiyun or Ummiyin. Both given the same name, meaning that their strength, their intellectual mental strength was based upon mother wit, what we call mother wit. That they were supported by mother wit. That's the description given to not only him, but to his society, to his people. Mother wit. Then enlightenment came. When enlightenment came, we know our prophet, he produced scholars. With God's mercy, blessing to him, he produced scholars, great intellect, great men of great intellect, and women of great intellect. Among them, Aisha, I think the youngest of his wives, Aisha, may God be pleased with her. And many of them, Ali became a great intellect, his cousin, a young man, became a great intellect, may God be pleased with them. And behind them, just movements, intellectual movements. In Damascus, Baghdad, eventually in Egypt, Azhar. I have to mention, too, in Africa, in that faraway place they call Timbuktu. The Africans over there, they were so enlightened, they were so learned, that visitors would come. They would be like pilgrims coming from far distant places in the Islamic world, coming there to study there and that faraway place in Africa we call now Timbuktu. You know, when you want to talk about a faraway place now, you say, you know, it's Timbuktu. That means it's far away. Yes, we know that happened. But we have to understand this. And this is the testimony, too, that Allah wants us to be a witness to. That no matter how Satan oppresses us, No matter how Satan influenced us to be guided away from the treasures or away from the good, abundant life, life of abundance, of goodness and usefulness, and etc., and there seems that there's no hope for us ever to be brought back to human life, to conscious life, never is the situation hopeless. We don't have to have humans around or any other creatures around to protect our future on this earth. God Himself protects our future on this earth.
We'll be right back after these brief announcements. Thank you for your continued support for Imam W. Dean Muhammad's ministry. Your contributions are sincerely appreciated. Send your donations to the Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. That's the Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. Thank you. Please turn the tape over to side two for more of Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
When you want to talk about a faraway place now, you say, you know, it's Timbuktu. That means it's far away. Yes, we know that happened. But we have to understand this, and this is the testimony too, that Allah wants us to be a witness of, a witness to, that no matter how Satan oppresses us, no matter how Satan influences us to be guided away from the treasures or away from the good, abundant life of abundance, of goodness and usefulness, and etc., and there seems that there's no hope for us ever to be brought back to human life, to conscious life, never is the situation hopeless. We don't have to have humans around or any other creatures around to protect our future on this earth. God Himself protects our future on this earth. There were the dark ages everywhere. The darkness was everywhere. Darkness was everywhere. Darkness was over Arabia, over that peninsula that came to be called Arabia about 100 years ago. Some of us think it's called Arabia all the time. Nope. The Bible calls it Arabia, but not the Muslims. We didn't call it Arabia until Saudi Arabia, right? Until Saud, King Saud. King Saud, the founder of the Saudi kingdom, his name was put on that land, and it became to be identified as Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia. But before then, Westerners used to refer to it as Arabia. The Arabs, though they were there on that peninsula, they were not limited to that peninsula. They called Arabs anybody who spoke their language and had that culture. Anybody who spoke their language and had that same culture or influenced by Islam, they call it Arabs. And the West, they do that too. They do call a lot of non-Arabians of that peninsula Arabs. But they make a mistake in thinking that Islam is a religion for Arabs, or that most Muslims are Arabs. The Arabs are a minority in this religion, even though it started there with the Arabs. Arabs are a minority in this religion. The great majority are not Arabs. And that's the way it's supposed to be. My point that I was getting, trying to establish is this, that we are also a testimony that God rescues the oppressed. God rescues the illiterate. The illiterate. We don't have to depend upon man to bring us day in the morning. God will bring us day in the morning. See, that's what we are testimony to, be a testimony to also. Because Prophet Muhammad was an uneducated person. He was an unenlightened person in a society that was unenlightened. And God gave him his mission, and God educated him. And God, through him, brought enlightenment for all the Muslim community. And as a result of that enlightenment, now this is history reported by Westerners as well as Muslims. The result of that enlightenment was the revival of the lost enlightenment, or lost sciences, in the West. The revival of those sciences. It was Muslim scholars, Muslim scientists, who went and dug up the lost works of Greeks, of the Greeks, and aided the West back on the path of enlightenment. Many of you in the audience, you'd be surprised to know how much the things you use daily have been influenced, shaped by the work of those scholarly, very brilliant-minded Muslims. You have terms like algebra, and you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All of that wasn't existing until the learned Muslims began their work of enlightenment. And many other things that we don't have time for is not the topic today. It would take a whole day, a whole speech just to address the contribution of Muslims to the Enlightenment, the Renaissance, and to modern civilization. Contributions of Muslims to modern civilization. I'm going to try to sum this up in just a few minutes now. Allah says in the Quran, for everyone is, English word is given, a goal. Like, I make it my goal to achieve this, or my goal is to reach that town by 12 o'clock tonight, whatever. For everyone is a goal. But we may also say for everyone is a direction. For everyone is an attraction. Says for everyone is a goal to which he's being drawn. He's being drawn. Toward which he's being drawn. فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَ مَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. So, you all turn your attention, literally faces. We know we turn our faces, but God, more important to turn our character, turn orient our character, turn our faces, character, mind, whole life in that direction. So you all turn yourselves in the direction of the Masjid al-Haram. What is the Masjid al-Haram? That's the vicinity where the house that is called by in the Quran, the most ancient or the oldest of houses built for God, built for the worship of God for all people. You see? So it is talking about the Qibla. The direction that we turn in prayer is talking about that. All of you turn your direction, turn your faces in that direction. Turn toward that direction. All of you. And God says, and I will bring you all together. Eh? God says, and I will bring you all together. God says he will bring us all together. So that the Kaaba, the Qibla, the orientation we have toward the ancient house, it is what God has given us as something that will keep us in unity with each other. That will keep our unity. Now, God says that in the Quran. Not me. This is God saying that in the Quran. So let, and not you, this is not me and not you saying this. This is God saying that. So if God says that in the Quran, and if we have a problem now for Muslim unity, why don't we go to what God has given us to get our unity back? Oh, we say all we need for our unity is La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. That's what unites us. But God has given us something else in addition to that. Is it enough to say La ilaha illallah and not pray? Is it enough to say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and not pray? No, because God says no community failed until first it abandoned prayers. It gave up praying to God. So the answer for us getting our unity back is for us to go to the words of God that says, for each of you is an influence that's pulling you in one direction. Isn't there an Arab influence pulling Arabs? Isn't there a Saudi influence and pulling the Saudi? And Iraq influence and pulling the Iraqis? Yes. A Sudanese influence and pulling this through the knees. And on and on and on we can go, can't we? Should we give up these influences? No. No. Isn't there an African influence in America, a black influence in America, and pulling us? Yes. Should we give it up? No. But those influences that are pulling us individually, those influences must be subsequent, subordinate to the major influence. If we come back and give ourselves to the major influence, to the most important influence, to the original influence, before we were made tribes and nations, come back to that original influence, then we can adjust what is happening in this local influence. So that it agrees with what should be in the original influence. And as a result, we will have excellent distinction, excellent people, distinguish one from another, but in accord with what God wants for us on this earth as a community. So I'm saying something here. I'm saying to my black brothers, and I put that black in quotation because I don't think most of you know what black means yet. Black means original nature. Black means spirit. Yeah, it does. These are some of the good names, good meanings for black. Original nature. You know, white and black have bad meanings. I hope you know that. When they say as white as a ghost, that's no compliment, sister. Oh, you look as pale as a ghost. That's no compliment. Yeah. So, white and black have bad meanings, but I'm talking on just on good meaning now. So one of the first meaning of black is the nature created by God. That's the first meaning of black, the nature created by God. And out of that nature comes what? Light. Light. And if you don't have the nature created by God, you don't have that original blackness, brother, you ain't gonna never get the light. You can buy all your Afrocentric stuff you can buy. They can ship it to you over here by plane, boat, and missiles. And you will never have a good situation in your soul until you get that original black that God created himself. And in that sense, all of us are black. And I'm one to kind of get into things sometimes, you know, that other people kind of shy away from. But I think a sign of that is not only the black stone we touch over there and salute when we go over there, but I think another sign is the black pupil in your eye. I don't care how dark you are, how white you are, you can be blue-eyed, Aryan from the high mountains of Asia. But if you ain't got a black center to your eye, you can't see. And it wasn't the Arabs, it was the English who called it pupil. The first student in your head. And God says, and he made the darkness and the light. And the Bible says, and there was the evening and the morning. Peace be unto you. Thank you. And may God guide us all to the right way. Assalamu alaikum.
You've been listening to the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. You are cordially invited to visit your local masjid or Islamic center for Friday Jumar and Sunday Talim. Check the Muslim Journal newspaper for the dates and time in your area. Thank you for listening.